Well, this morning I want to talk to you about what now? What now? We've been seeking the Lord over these 90 days. We've been consecrating ourselves. We've been asking the Lord to speak to us, and we've been hearing from God. And that's what you see all around you on these walls, that you hear various people in our congregation that have written down what God has spoken to them or what they felt God was sharing to write down. And there's still time for you to do that. There's still the forms that are there in the back on your way out. And if you would like to do that, we would appreciate that. We'll probably do a little bit of prayer around these walls here tonight again, because I know sometimes we just don't take the time to read them. And there are some really powerful words there. Some of them come from children. Some of them come from young people. Some of them come from adults of all ages. And so we've been doing this for 90 days. We've already felt that. We had two prophetic men that had come into our church, and they basically prophesied that for 90 days, and that something would happen. There'd be an outpouring start to happen in our church. And so we're almost there. We're almost there. This would be the last Sunday of that. And, of course, end of April is on Saturday. So we'll be having our Freedom Weekend during that time. But as we look at that over these 90 days, and we appreciate the people that have made extra commitments during that time, worship team, people getting together. And we really do appreciate that. And I think this passage of Scripture gives us a good answer of what now after we've done this for 90 days. So if you would turn with me to 2 Chronicles 7, and we're going to read from verses 11 through to 16. So 2 Chronicles 7 should be on the screen there above as well. And this is a story about Solomon dedicating the beautiful, beautiful temple of the Lord. And they've gone through and they've done their sacrifices. They've gone through their praise and their worship. And here's what the Lord is saying after all of that. And so Solomon finished the temple of the Lord, as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. And then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls. Or I might command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and restore their land. My eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever, and I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." And as I read those words, I just find that they resonate inside of me, that I believe that God is saying that even about this place, that that is His desire for this building that we're actually in. So Father, I just thank You for Your word today. I pray that You would just bring forth Your word and help me to bring it forth, Lord, that it might find a resting place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, this is the last Sunday of our 90 days that we've set aside to hear from God. And as we look around these walls, that is a testimony to us that we have heard from God, that God does speak today, and He desires to speak to us today. And if you had something that you've received and you haven't written it down, I really encourage you to do that today and grab one of those pieces of paper and do that, or come back tonight and be ready to write down some more things. We will not throw those out. We will keep all of those. I think my plan is I'll put them underneath the stage so that we'll have those words always here. And every once in a while, maybe you bring them out and read them out again. But anyway, so they will not be destroyed. We want to keep those words. Now, we also still have a Freedom Weekend next weekend. That'll be the finishing off of those final 90 days. But this is the last Sunday. So what do we do now? What's next? Now what? Where do we go from here? Well, I think we've seen some excellent advice here in this passage of Scripture that we read here in 2 Chronicles 7. And it's a story of the dedication of Solomon's temple, the most beautiful temple that was made. And at this time of dedication, it's interesting, if you can go back maybe this afternoon and read the story of the dedication, you'll see that God came on the scene as they dedicated this temple. It tells us that the fire of God fell in the place. It tells us that the presence of God filled the place. It tells us that the glory of the Lord came down upon that temple. And so strong was the presence and the glory of God that the Bible says the priest could not even enter or even minister, because the presence of the Lord was so powerful and so great that God was doing the ministry. And that's certainly a desire that I have here in our own church, that God's glory, that God's presence, that the fire of God would fall in this place to such an extent that it won't be me that'll be ministering at the front of this church, but God will be ministering throughout our midst. And I know that the Lord is already doing that in many ways. We hear testimonies every week where God has touched somebody, God has ministered to somebody that was sitting in the congregation, and the Lord spoke to them. And that's what we want. That's what we want to see even more so, that that would happen in this place. Well, anyway, we see that the response of the people was they fell down, they began to worship the Lord, they began to sing and praise God. And it's such a good thing to praise the Lord in song. It is a beautiful privilege that we have, and it is something that God desires. He loves the praises of His people. And as we look at what they were singing, they sang this verse here. They said, "The Lord is good, and His faithful love endures forever." And that's who our God is. He is a God whose faithful love will endure forever. And so as this meeting began to take place and they began to worship the Lord, it tells us that they had kind of a revival take place. An awakening happened for the people of Israel. And for the next 7 days, they began to worship the Lord. And they said that the people were filled with joy and they were filled with gladness as they took out 7 days and just worship the Lord. I wonder what would happen for all of us if we could just simply call up work and say, "I'm not going to be in for the next week because I'm going to stay and worship the Lord." And what would happen if we all stayed all day, all night for 7 days? I think some marvelous things would indeed happen. Anyway, this turned into a great revival time. People were excited. They were pumped about God and the things that were happening at the temple. And after these celebrations, they kind of died out, and you know, people went back to their places of work and they're back to their homes, and Solomon is back into his home and his palace, and he's wondering, "Well, now what, God? What do I do now? What's the next thing that we're to do?" And then we see that God comes to Solomon in a dream. I'm really thankful that God still speaks to us, and sometimes He will speak to us in dreams. And I find it really amazing of late that there's so many people today that are having dreams and visions, and God's appearing to people today, calling them to Himself and bringing them home to Him. That's a beautiful thing. Well, anyway, that's kind of what happened with Solomon. God came to him in a vision, in a dream, and began to speak to him and give him directions of what he was to do after experiencing this wonderful time and this outpouring of God and His presence in this place. And I think as you look at that, that it's something that we as a congregation need to take to our hearts, because we know from the testimonies that are on this wall that we have been experiencing God's presence. We've been experiencing hearing the voice of God. And I believe that God is still wanting to speak and wanting to say things to us. And I believe that if we wanted to take it down to one verse, I think this 2 Chronicles 7:14 would be that verse of what God would like to say, what's next. This is what you would do. And it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land." You know, there's a lot of talk today about the environment and what we need to do with the environment. And there are things that we need to be careful of. You know, there are some things that your emissions and all that kind of stuff, yeah, you need to be careful of. But do you realize that the Bible has a much stronger message, an environmental message that tells us if you really want to clean up the land, if you really want to heal the land, then seek my face. Return unto me. And it's too bad that some of our politicians wouldn't learn that one and start proclaiming that message, because that's the message that's throughout the Bible. Great environmental message right there. But anyway, there's very powerful words here, very powerful directions here that would tell us what's the next step for us here at Bethel. And there's five things that I get out of that I'd like to share with you this morning that I believe are the next directions for us as a church. Now, the first part of that is, I believe that God is telling us that we need to continue to be God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name. You know, we here as this church, we do believe in God. We do believe and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We believe that He is the one true God. We are at this church believe that we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. And we have been pursuing Him and desiring a greater relationship with Him. We will continue to hear His voice. And so it's our desire of our church is to keep growing in that area. Keep growing in that relationship with God. We haven't reached the end. There's more. God has more. And we want to get to that place where we hear His voice even more. Don't think that that's it. If you got something once from God, that's all He's ever going to say to you. God wants to talk to us every day, every moment of the day. Listen to what John 10:27 says. My sheep, Jesus says, listen to my voice. Or some other translation says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, God desires for us to hear His voice. And He says He will speak to His people. So we want to be His people. We want to continue to be in that place that we can hear the voice of God and what God has to say for us. You know, we could go to the book of Revelations, and as the book of Revelation starts out, it's interesting that it addresses the church. And it tells the church, you better listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. So friends, we never arrive where, you know, we heard it all, we know it all. We do not know it all. And we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying into our hearts and to our lives today. So we need to continue to be His people. We need to continue to pursue the relationship with Christ, that we would know His voice and we would not be confused with all the other voices that are out there in our world. There's a lot of voices that we can hear in our minds. There's a lot of voices we hear from the entertainment world. There's a lot of voices that we hear from the political realm. There's a lot of voices that the enemy of our soul speaks forth. We need to keen in our ears and tune them in that we hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And as His people, God promises us that we will hear His voice. So that's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. God wants us to stay in a relationship with Him where we continue to hear His voice. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you've been doing these 90 days and you've really been seeking to hear from God, don't stop. It continues. It continues. God isn't finished speaking to you yet. There are more things that He can speak into your lives. And, you know, many of you here this morning, you're going through some difficulties. You're going through some hardships. God wants to speak into those things. We need to get ourselves in that place where we can hear from Him. Our Freedom Weekend, which we have next week, is an awesome opportunity for you to hear the voice of God for yourself. Wonderful thing. Encourage you to come. Because we are in the last days, I believe that God is speaking to the church and He's speaking to people even outside the church that they would come and be His people. And that's a wonderful thing, that God is drawing people from all over the world. God is speaking to people in our community, and He's reaching out to them, and He's calling them because God desires for all the people to be His people. Revelation 3:20, I think we shared that last week, and Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open that door, I'm going to come in, and we're going to share a meal together as friends. God is going out in the highways and the byways, and he's calling people in because he desires that all people would be his people. And for us, we're already his people. We need to continue to be his people and not walk away, not go to the right or to the left, but continue to follow him and all of his ways. That's the first thing that I believe God wants us to do. He wants us to continue in that relationship with him. So as you've been growing in Christ, as you've been hearing God's voice, man, don't be looking at, okay, now I'm going to take a break for a while. No, no, you keep pressing in. God has more. God has more for you. Secondly, what I believe that God wants us to do is to continue to humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know, we sometimes think that humility is not really all of that important of a trait, but it really is. And we need to be conscious of our own shortcomings, our own defects that we have, because we're not perfect. This church is not a perfect church. We are normal individuals, and that, yes, we have a desire in our heart for God, but there are times that come that we sometimes struggle with the things of life. Sometimes we struggle with temptation. Sometimes we struggle with sin. So we're not perfect. But yet God is doing things. He's doing great things in our midst. And he is the one that we need to be, that needs to be honored. Not ourselves, not this church, not our worship team, not the pastor. God needs to be honored in this house. And that's our desire. We want to see God honored in this house. God is the one that is worthy of our praise. And we want to direct our praise and our honor to him. So we need to be careful of that area of pride that can rise up within us, and that has destroyed many revivals throughout history, where pride has come in and people began to look to other people. People began to look to spiritual leaders, that they're the ones that they needed, when they kind of forgot, hold it now, it's to him. It's the Lord that heals. It's the Lord that touches us. Yes, he may use individuals, but it's still him where all the glory, all the praise must go. And friends, that's something we need to be careful of as God continues to move in this church. Don't be stepping out to take the credit and say, well, you know, because I did this and because I did that and I was praying those 90 days that this is what God did. No, we just give him the glory and we give him the credit for all that he is doing and all that he's going to do. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, it says, and all of you, you need to serve each other in humility, not thinking that we're better than anybody else. For God despises the proud, or he opposes the proud, but he'll favor the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, God will lift you up in honor. See, God believes in honor as well. It's just that we don't demand honor, we worship and give it to him, and at the right time, he will honor us. And God does do that. So we need to be careful in this area. Humble ourselves. Let's keep a humble heart as God, you know, does things and as God begins to do even greater things, because I'm believing for even greater things. Some of those things that you see in the wall, I believe in those things. I believe those things will happen. And so we need to keep a humble attitude and just continue to wait on the Lord to see those things come to pass. So humility is still important for us. Then thirdly, what I believe that God is wanting us to do here, he's asking us to continue to pray. Now 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Just because you're experiencing God now, just because you've been experiencing and hearing his voice does not mean that that's the end. There's still more. That doesn't mean that, well, you know what, I've been really praying extra of late and I've been making sure to be seeking God a little bit more so I could hear him. That's not to stop. You don't stop that. See, that was just an exercise to help you to realize that's how you get to hear his voice. By taking a little, giving a little bit more of a time, giving a little bit more effort, coming to things like we'll have tonight where we're just going to worship him, we're just going to pray together. The times like that, that God will help us, that he will continue to speak to us. But we need to pray. You just can't throw prayer out. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we can get all excited at what God is doing and rejoice in him and be blessed in him, that we sometimes forget to pray. You still need to pray. You still need to seek his face. You still need to call on him. And, you know, I really sense that God has been calling this church to pray. I really been sensing that God is calling us, not just as individuals, but corporately, that as corporate people we come together and that we pray. I really sense that in my spirit that God says, I want you to do that. And I believe in days ahead, that's what we need to continue to do. We need to continue coming together, praying together individually and also corporately. Still the greatest exercise that we can do to move the hand of God in our world. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. To devote yourself is to consecrate yourself, to commit yourself, to give of your energy to pray. See, God has more for us. There's more. God always has more. Never think that you've arrived because God always has more. He's a big, big God. And he has big, big blessing. He has big, big gifts that he desires to give to his people. So don't think that you've arrived. You just keep looking because he's got more for you. Keep pressing in. Keep getting closer to him because God has more to give to you. So that's another thing we need to continue to do. We need to continue to pray. Fourth thing, what now? I believe God wants us to continue to seek him, to seek the Lord. Again, read the rest of the verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God is desiring to be the focus of our lives. We need to have our focus on him. We need to be seeking him. He needs to be our primary concern and our primary goal in our life is to focus upon him, to seek his face, to seek those encounters with him, because the Lord himself needs to be our pursuit. Not revival, not miracles, not even hearing the voice of God, not growth, not buildings, not anything else that you can think of. Seeking him needs to be a priority in our lives. Giving him our all. You know, God is always desiring that. And again, sometimes, you know, even in revival times, you know, people start seeking the revival and stop seeking him. We often today, they talk about the conference junkies. And they go from conference to conference to conference to conference to conference. They don't even attend a church. They're not even part of a church. And what are they doing? They're just seeking an expression. They're just seeking, you know, the excitement. And they've lost the vision of seeking him. Do not lose the vision of seeking him. Do not lose the focus of seeking him. This building is not our focus. That land out there is not our focus. Our focus needs to be on him. We need to continue to seek the Lord. And never give up on that, to continue to seek him. Because that's where the blessings are. If you will continue to seek him, that's where God will bless you. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You know, we often quote the part where, you know, if you're going to come to God, you have to believe. That's so important. You have to believe, and it is. To come to that expression of faith, you need to believe first. That, yes, I do. I believe in God. That's your very first initial step towards God, that you believe. But you also need to come to that place that you recognize that he rewards those who sincerely seek him, God is looking for those who are sincerely seeking Him. He's looking at our hearts. He's looking at our thoughts. He's looking at what we're doing throughout the week. And He's looking for people to say, are they truly seeking after me? Are they truly seeking what I want to give to them? Because I have good gifts to them. I have rewards I want to give to them. But they don't get them unless they're seeking me. God is wanting to give a lot of things to us right now. He has a lot of big gifts that He's been storing up to be released over this whole area. We need to seek Him. So let's continue to do that. Let us continue to seek the Lord. Let us continue to seek it, those personal encounters with God. Let us continue to seek that closeness with the Lord. And friend, I don't know about you, but when I have those encounters with God, it just causes something in my heart to say, I want to have it again. I want another encounter again. I'm not satisfied with just one. I'm not satisfied with two or three or four or a dozen. I'm desiring more because those are the most beautiful things you can ever experience when you encounter Him. I love those experiences. I desire those experiences. I want more of those experiences, but I need to seek Him. Not the experiences, but seek Him. And as I seek Him and draw close to Him, I'll have those encounters that God will bring. So that's another thing. Then a last thing I'd like to talk to you about that God wants us to continue in this area, I call an improvement. To improve our relationship, to deal with those areas in our lives where maybe we've been tolerating maybe just a little bit of sin, just a little bit of evil. What Adam was talking about in an advertisement for Freedom Weekend, that, you know, sometimes there's just things in our lives that we kind of get slack. We kind of get so used to them that we don't even notice them anymore. And, you know, there's things in our lives that God wants to speak to us about. There are things in our lives where God, you know, He wants us to get rid of some things. In other areas, He wants us to put them to death, like totally get rid of those things. And we need to be sensitive to that, and we need to improve. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. See, we're living in a generation today that, you know, there's a message out there that don't worry how you live, just get Jesus, and it doesn't matter. Keep living in your sin and keep doing all those things. It's all covered. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I don't know what Bible they're reading. And I can pretty much guess that's probably the problem is they don't read this book. There are so many people that all they do is they read a scripture here and a scripture over here and another scripture there, and they don't take the time to read the whole book. You got to read the whole book, cover to cover, and keep reading that book cover to cover to learn the truths of God's Word. So we need to continue to work on our relationship with God. We're not perfect. We sin at times. We make mistakes at times. That's who we are. We're human beings. And because we're human beings, we do fall. And so we need to be working on our lives. We need to be watching ourselves. And we need to be looking for any area of wickedness that maybe we're allowing to take root in our lives or allowing to come into our lives or maybe it's been there all along and it's time now to deal with those things. See, we need to give effort. We need to lay aside things that God is wanting us to lay aside. I find it interesting here that, you know, when He says, I want you to get rid of this wickedness, turn from your wicked ways, who is He talking to? He's talking to His people. And so, friends, you know, we need to realize that as we apply that today, He's talking to the church. He's talking to the Christian people and saying, hey, you Christian people, there are some things in your lives that you're not dealing with, that you've been just kind of brushing aside or excusing, and I want you to deal with some things in your life, to take that time to draw closer to me. And I believe that there are some things in our lives, in all of our lives, that God wants to change, that God wants to speak to. I was thinking this morning as Adam was sharing his testimony, and I was remembering some stories about forgiveness. And I remember the Lord said to me, you need to forgive. I'm like, what are you talking about, God? I don't have anybody I need to forgive. Like, I'm doing good. And the Lord brought my attention to an individual that had did something, not to me, but to somebody else, and that I had unforgiveness. I didn't even realize I had it. And when I did, I had to say, Lord, then forgive me, God. I confess that to you. And I ask you, Lord, I release that person now, God, and I don't want to partner with him anymore, and I don't want to have anything to do with him. You know, and God can continue to speak that. I was down in Calgary there, maybe it was about a year ago or so, and I was kind of praying on a promise that God had spoken to us. It's about, you know, our kids having a place to stay and all this kinds of thing. And anyway, they lost that apartment. I'm kind of saying, well, God, hey, what happened there? You told me to stand upon this. I did that. You worked a miracle. But then a year later, I'm still losing that place. And so anyway, I was down there in Calgary, and I said, I'm going to drive by that place again. And I'm going to see. And I was kind of mentioning to the Lord, well, Lord, you told me to declare this word. And Lord, that's not working out right now. So what am I to do? And I just heard the Lord get me real quick. He said, you're to forgive them. But you're to forgive them. And so I did that. I went out right in front of that house, and I asked God to forgive me that I had those still thoughts, that I was holding them to an agreement that they broke. But God said, forgive. And see, that's what he does. Those are the kinds of things he wants to speak to us as his people. There may be some, you know, maybe that's not a real big deal to a lot of people, but it is to him. And that's what we need to realize, is that it's a big deal to him. It may not be to other people. You know, we like to compare, you know, sin to sin. Well, your sin is bigger than my sin because my sin was only this, and you did this one. Like, oh, you're really bad. Sin is sin. That's what God says. Sin is sin. And we all need to deal with our sin. And so I believe that's what God is saying to us. He wants us to deal with our sin, the church, us people, us Christians, that we would deal with those things that are still in our lives, that still need work in our lives. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 are some other verses to read. We think of the great outpouring in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost gets outpoured upon the Jerusalem. We see that the Bible says over 3,000 people responded that day to God, which I think, how isn't that amazing? Because they didn't have microphones, they didn't have the media to be saying what was going on, just the word of mouth began to spread, and over 3,000 got saved. What were they to do after that? Interesting, Acts chapter 3, 19 to 20. It says, now repent of your sins, turn to God, so that your sins can be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And see, God's really trying to show to us that as we deal with those little things in our lives, you know, maybe it's not a big thing, maybe it is a big thing, but as God points out things in our lives that we need to deal with, as we deal with those things, guess what happens? Times of refreshment start to come. When God sees that we're wanting to work on that relationship with him, when God sees that we're making an effort, oh, he wants to bless us. He wants to give us some good, good gifts. And I look forward to that. I don't know about you. I like getting good gifts, don't you? Like, you know, it's faith. It's great to get a gift. It's great that something happens for you. Wonderful. Well, God desires to do that. But he's asking us, will you please look at those things in your lives where maybe, you know, you've allowed sin to come in, or maybe it's been something that you've had since the start of your life and, you know, you've just never dealt with it. And all of a sudden, God comes alongside and he asks you to deal with it. I want to give you some advice there as well, that when God comes alongside you and asks you to deal with a certain area of your life, that means he wants to help you. Doesn't mean that you're going to have to do it all by yourself. It means that God's saying, you know what? I'm going to help you right now. And I'm coming alongside you, and I'm pointing this thing out in your life, but I'm also telling you I'm here to help you to get victory over it and to prosper and go on with God. So those are some things that I really believe that God is saying, well, now you did your 90 days, now what? Now, maybe that disappoints you. Maybe you're looking for something, you know, a whole lot more exciting or more powerful. But that's what I felt God say to us. He says, I want you to continue to be my people. I want you to keep humility present in your church. I want you to continue to prioritize prayer in your church and in your life. I want you to continue to seek my face, that this place would be a place that would seek the Lord, that God was wanting us to improve our lifestyles. and prove our relationship with Him. Keep growing in Christ. And then as we do, here's where 2 Corinthians 7, verses 14 to 16. I should have wrote those down. I wrote part of that on the wall, but I should have wrote this scripture down and put it on the wall as well. I will hear, when you do this, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will restore their land. Just take a quick look at that portion of scripture. Do we not need forgiveness? Do we not need to hear from heaven? Do we not need to know that God is listening to our prayers? Do we not need a restoration in this area and that whole oil industry and so forth? That's what God's saying. We think all these things are physical things, and there are some things that deal in the physical, but there's a spiritual umbrella that's over it all that we need to deal with that releases God's blessing. Then he says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer in this place. I believe God desires that in this place, that his people would come. And I believe there will be people that will come from even different lands. They will come to this church and they will hear from heaven. And they will know that their prayers have been heard. And it goes on to say, for I have chosen this temple and I have set it apart to be holy. And I believe that God has set this place apart. And it's a place where my name will be honored forever. And I will always watch over it because it's dear to my heart. And I really believe that this is a place that is dear to the heart of God. See, God isn't finished with us yet, friends. We have not reached the end. There is still more. There is still more. There is still more. And I really believe that this place is to be a place to carry a pure stream of the presence and the power of God. That this will be a place that people will hear from God and encounter God. A place where people will experience healing, deliverance, salvation, answers to prayer. A place where His glory will be displayed and where His people will be in awe of Him. And I believe that with my whole heart. I wrote that down. I stuck that on the wall. Very interesting, as I'm doing this message, I get a call from Barry Maracule. How interesting is that? That one of those prophetic men that was here the 90 days previous gives a call on that day while I'll be working on a message. And again, he was just saying that this church is going to be part of the end time revival of healing where God's presence is going to be displayed. He's believing us, God, for that. He's prophesying that over us. And it's interesting, I'm working on this message, that I get to hear that word again from a person that just happens to call. I think he may have been in Ontario at that time at some church. God has more. God has more. These 90 days have been really good. It's been enjoyable to seek the Lord and to hear from heaven and to write down some of those thoughts that God is giving to us. And I know there's numbers of you that have written down probably 3, 4, 5, 6, and have put them on the wall. And that's just so awesome and so wonderful. But He has more to speak to us. He has more to say. And while we wait for all of that, while we wait for some of these words to come to pass, and I believe they will come to pass, He tells us, continue to be my people. Continue to be my people. Continue to be humble. Continue to be prayerful. Continue to seek me. And then continue to improve that relationship with me. That's what God is saying to us as we come close to the end of these 90 days, being our last Sunday. God has good things. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. I am so thankful for those encounters that God has given to me. I'm amazed sometimes that when somebody can call and somebody can give an encouraging word, somebody can give a prophetic word, somebody can call and say, here's a scripture, or somebody can call and say, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you today. Man, those are good things. Those are good things. Those are good things. And God desires to do more in all of us. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments as we close here and conclude this service. And friend, maybe you're here today. Maybe this is your first time, or maybe you've been here a few times and you've been kind of opening up your heart to God. Obviously, God's been speaking to you, or you wouldn't be here. The very fact that you're here means that there's an openness in your heart towards God. And you know, just as that scripture says, God's knocking, just open it the rest of the way. and say, Lord, I welcome you into my life today. I just welcome you and all that you have for me. I just welcome you. And as we open up that door, then there's forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our transgressions. Forgiveness of our faults and failures. Forgiveness for things that are in our lives that maybe still haunt us because some terrible, terrible things happened to us in our lives. But yet as we come to Him, there is forgiveness. Because the Bible says God forgives all sin. All of it. All of it. And friend, if you're here today, open that door. Let God touch you today. Let God bring new life and new hope and new joy into your life today. And then the other areas, let's continue to seek the Lord. I want more of God. I am not satisfied with what I have. I'm glad for what I have, but I'm not satisfied because I desire more. And I'm going to be seeking for more. That's my plan. That's my pursuit. I'm going to continue to seek the Lord.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow